Welcome back to our show. This is episode 3 with the Golfers Who Dad podcast. In this episode, Trevor shares his recent tournament experience with Junior PGA. We talk about our kids' sleeping habits, and we set up a new golf challenge you're going to enjoy. So let's jump right in.
You are listening to the Golfers Who Dad podcast, the golf show you don't need to hide from your wife. And now your hosts, Jared, Brian, and Trevor.
Hey, this is the Golfers Who Dad podcast with Jared, Trevor, and Brian. Hey guys, what's going on?
Not much. Excited to talk to you again today.
Good to be back.
Good to be back. Episode 3. We made it.
Watch out.
Maybe.
Everyone's new. We're here.
We made it.
We made it. I got to tell you guys a quick story. It's not golf related, but I got to tell you, my wife wants me to suffer. And I need to know if you guys have ever had this. So this week, raising a two-year-old, my wife had had her wits end, at her wits end with my daughter sleeping. And so she says, hey, you're on sleep duty tonight. I don't know what you guys do with your kids, but I just never do sleep duty. Like, I'm talking when they actually are asleep. Do you guys deal with that or no?
Go ahead. Take that one, Brian. You're closer than I am.
Yeah. So I'm like right in the middle. So how old is your daughter again? You said
She's two. She just turned two.
So I should know that, Jared. I apologize. Two years old. So I have like 2.5 and 4.5. So I got about 6 months out of you on each of those. It depends on which one gets up, to be honest. Sometimes there's nothing that I can do to help the 2.5-year-old. Just because he had a nightmare, just wants mom, right? But the 4.5-year-old, a little more reason, I get up. So
the thing is, like, my daughter's two, and I always felt like there's not much I could do. And this week, my wife had enough. She's like, you are on nighttime duty.
it gets to that point, Jared. It does get to that point.
Yeah. And well, here's the thing is that, so I take over on a Monday because she had enough on Sunday. And that was it, like breaking point. So Monday I take over and my daughter never sleeps through the night. I swear to you, 5 nights in a row, she slept through the night on my nights, my first 5 nights, did not do anything different. Just went with it.
And it's all your fault, right? It's all your fault.
It's all my fault. Well, no. And then on Saturday I wake up and I'm like, I look at my wife and I'm like, hey, you know, great week. And she just stares at me. And I was like, what's up? And she goes, I want you to have to get up in the middle of the night. And I said, I've been doing this all week. And she goes, no, she didn't wake up at all. And my wife truly wants me to suffer. And that's what I said to her. I go, I don't get that. You're not happy because she slept all week. So I don't know if you guys ever deal with that, but all week she wanted me to suffer.
I'll go back. I think Trevor and I had like a side conversation a couple years ago about this. Kind of a separate thing, but it's basically like when you're at home alone with kids versus when you're there with your significant other, you know, how do your kids act? Like, are they better? Are they worse? And it seems like whenever my wife's out of the picture, my boys get in line. They're just, you know, everything goes smooth. It's almost easier, right?
Careful, Brian. Sarah's going to be listening to this.
I know. I'm throwing out a couple nights on the couch here is what I'm doing. But at the same time, it's just a different, like, they're just different with different parents, right? And so Trevor kind of gave me this speech. Is like, you know, when you're with them, you get to raise them how you want to raise them. You don't have to check with anybody. So I don't know. Like,
it's good advice, Trev. I like that.
But we react like as dads, we react differently than moms do. Like, you know, moms just want to be there. They get that natural reaction when they hear a baby cry to jump up and attend to the baby. Right. That's just kind of how they've always been, I guess. I don't know. At least that's how my wife's always been. And, you know, I'm not like I can sleep through a crying baby, learn that early on. Right. And it really takes, you know, some kind of like, you know, thud or like deep sound that's like a home invasion. And that's when I react to it. So,
yeah. And so the night, that, In my house, when she finally did wake up, I swear my wife was happier the next day. She gave me that look like, yeah, you had to get up. And then it was like, all right, I get it. I get it. But apparently I'm still on sleep duty, though. They didn't get me off a week. I'm still on it indefinitely. I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know. I think it's been a while since I've been in the two phase, but I feel like everything's kind of comes in waves, you know, in phases. So, you know, I remember back to my youngest having a thumb sucking issue too. And that was just like, we couldn't do anything to break it. And then all of a sudden she decided she was over it and she just, you know, stopped it. So, you know, it's just a matter of like, I think keeping them busy throughout the day, right? You know, helps with the sleep thing. So, and then like Brian said, you know, if you don't react to it as much, then maybe they're not going to be willing to, you know, get out of their bed as much, maybe. And then there's also the other thing of, you know, if they're in a day bed versus a crib. I know we got ours out of the crib pretty early, and they took full advantage of that early on to get out and kind of move out. And I remember just the first time, like, overreacting to them kind of getting out and just, like, putting, like, the fear of death in them, you know, like, when they got out the first time.
So you're getting no Christmas presents.
I think it sunk in a little bit, and I don't know. We've just been lucky with ours. Ours sleep pretty well, and we have other issues that we're dealing with, but you know, sleep has not been one of them, fortunately. So
yeah, I mean, I don't know, sleep is tough around this house, so we look at each other and go, what the heck. But you know, I know this podcast, we're gonna help a lot of parents out just naturally, so through our trials and errors, but I didn't do anything different. That's the thing. I think you guys are right. I just really, maybe she just didn't pay a lot of attention to it, didn't get up and draw a lot of attention to the crying, and that helped. I'll keep you updated how this goes.
So when you say you're in sleep duty, how did that go down? What did that look like for you? Was that just like you had the monitor by your side of the bed versus
Full moved the monitor, everything. Yeah, monitor got totally relocated to my side. I mean, that was like, that is like the line in the sand is where the monitor lies, whose side of the bed it's on.
So is she in a crib still, Jared, or is she like in a day bed, kind of like a little kid bed?
She's in a crib still. Yeah. I mean, I'm terrified to put her in a day bed or a toddler bed because I think she'd be up and at it. I don't know, like you're saying.
Are you sure you just didn't turn the volume down on the monitor to like zero? Because that's in my mind,
she slept all night. So if whatever it works, she slept all night. I was good. Five nights straight. And that was like a personal record. That was a PR in this house.
Yeah. Yeah. So I just had a conversation with my wife that actually on Saturday, so a couple days ago, about removing the monitor from our 2.5-year-old room, like completely. Because we have that thing, like she gets annoyed, like with little sounds or whatever, you know? And so she turns it all the like almost all the way down on volume. So I'm like, what's the point? Like you just wake up and check on them like here and there, check the temperature in the room. Like, let's just let it go and see what happens. And that's the next step. That's when you're like, okay, you know, they really have to be seriously screaming for them to wake you up. Otherwise,
yeah, I agree.
Soothe themselves a little bit.
When you're under that, like 1 year, that temperature is, you know, it's pretty important. I live in, you know, it's really hot down here. So we check the temperature. You don't want to get too hot. And in the winter, you don't want to get too cold in there. So that matters. But now like 2+, they can tell you, they'll tell you they're cold or they're hot or just scream their head off till you come in there. So talking parents and kids, Trev, you had an interesting weekend with your daughters, right?
Yeah, we actually had like a parent junior event at our local golf course. And so we signed up and it was a 9-hole scramble for my kids' age range. And so I teamed up with my oldest daughter and my wife teamed up with our youngest. And they were actually in the division below us at the youngest group, but we played together as a family. And so it was fun.
What's the rule set up on this? You got a 2-person scramble. I mean, you're doing what, 9 holes? And what's the rules look like?
Yeah, so 9 holes. They basically say each player, both kid and parent, have to have 4 drives in the round. So it ends up being math wise, one's going to have 5, one's going to have 4, and so you have to be able to you know, use that strategically. You know, you're probably going to use your kid's par 3 shots, you know, mostly. And then you par 5s, you're probably going to end up using the parents, you know, so it kind of, that comes into play a little bit.
Yeah, I mean, I have a lot of questions. I know we get a lot of people that want to enter these tournaments with kids. This is the first one I've heard that you enter with your kid. I mean, I'm not really on the junior golf, you know, up and up, but.
Yes. Yeah. So Trevor, your daughter's been playing a little bit of junior golf, your oldest, right? For a while? Or is it, right?
Yeah.
It's not her first tournament, right?
And this is the first tournament we played like parent dad scramble, which was awesome. Or, I mean, yeah, no, junior dad scramble, which was awesome. She's played a couple like local junior golf association tournaments, you know, and then also there's a PGA Junior League function that goes every summer, which is basically teaming up with two other teammates to do a scramble for nine holes. So she's done some, you know, tournament type golf before, but this is the first event for both her and I to play together. So it was kind of fun.
So how much strategy are you talking with her? I mean, when you're talking switching off drives, do you coach her up a little bit or did you just kind of let her play?
It was super hot out when we played and she started, we had a bunch of water, but she started melting on like third or fourth hole. And by melting, I mean, just like not even really paying attention. You know, she was kind of, she was off picking weeds in, you know, left field basically. But so I kind of looked at her and just kind of like, I kind of lied to her because I didn't know where we were in the scoring, but I just said, hey, we're in this. Let's, you know, we have a chance to take this thing down. Let's do this. And she had no reference, right? We weren't playing against other folks. It was just her sister and her mom who were like shanking shots left and right. So she didn't have any like, you know, reference points. So I kind of had to tell her like, hey, this is against other people, you know, let's get into this.
And so you were with your wife, you guys were in the foursome, your wife and your other daughter were in the same group.
Yeah. And they were playing together as a twosome, but they were in a different bracket because my daughter's six. And so they had an 8 and under and then a 9 and 11. My daughter's 9. So, we were in a different bracket, but they let us play together since we were family and everything. So
that I could see that going one of two ways. Like the four of you walk out with some theme song, just pumping and just pure intimidation to everyone else. Like we got this.
Yeah,
there were a few families apart, ready to go.
Or it goes the other way and you're on hole six and your wife's looking at you like, well, this is fun. Cause you know, the kid's out rolling around down the off into the bunkers playing and she's like screaming to keep the kids on pace. And you know,
that's I gotta know. Were you guys matching outfits or no? Like all four.
So I wore a similar green shirt than my daughter as tried to keep it similar, but it wasn't the exact same. And then, yeah, no. My wife's kind of new to golf, and my youngest doesn't play a ton, so the options were pretty limited. So they were not matching at all.
Nice. So big question. 6-year-old, obviously, kind of in and out of it, right? How'd you guys do? And B, how did you keep them involved for 9 holes? Because you know, I mean, that's a long time.
That's 2 hours. For 9 holes.
I know, for concentration.
Yeah, we can do a whole lot of episodes on this, but this has been like a, you know, 6-year work in progress for 9 holes. You know, don't get me wrong. I mean, I started out with iPads and the golf cart just so dad can play. But once they started getting a little older, you know, I just kind of like, you know, give them little teasers here, you know, like have them name the holes, you know, kind of have them get 9 holes that they felt comfortable with, you know, whether it was them playing or just them picking out something on the hole that they liked or, you know, rolling down a certain hill, that sort of thing. So it wasn't playing holes, you know, it was just like getting to another hole to kind of see what you could do that's fun. And so that, and then it kind of morphed into like, oh yeah, yeah, I've seen this hole before. I'm not going to go roll down a hill this time. Might as well try to hit one. Right. So, yeah. So this has been like a, you know, 6-year culmination of, you know, trying to get the whole family to play 9 holes, which was probably the first for all of us playing scoring round, you know?
So yeah, did you guys do? Yeah, yeah, I gotta know.
Oh yeah. So actually, my daughter and I, we won our 9 to 11 division. We shot a 34 out of 36, which was awesome. And we actually tied with another pair, and we birdied the last 2 holes. So we actually had the tiebreaker. So we got the trophy. It was pretty fun.
Oh wow, that's awesome.
I'd expect nothing less from your family, Trevor.
Yeah, I really expect a theme song now, though. An outro song and a walk-off song for you guys.
Yeah, we need a few steps at the club and then a Rocky song in the background.
Yeah, absolutely. I could see that. So you're the champion. Do you get to go on to any next level or is this it? Like this was just a one-time tournament?
A one-time tournament, but the turnout was great. I mean, I think they had like maybe 80 folks play total last year and they said they had 128 this year. So
wow.
I mean, the spike in just junior golf and just golf in general. I mean, you guys have all seen it in your courses. You know, there's just an influx of new golfers and just golf in general with after COVID. So, or during COVID. So yeah, no, it was a huge turnout. So the pros are already all saying that they're going to do a couple different events next year to kind of keep going with this momentum.
I like it. Yeah, our course offers a junior membership. That's pretty awesome. And last time I went out with two buddies, so there's three of us, and we got paired up with one of the junior guys, and just awesome kid. And it was fun to see him. And so I'll have to try to get him on here. I know his dad, but just to see how he got into golf and stuff like that, because he loves the game. He's on the high school golf team. Great golfer, great attitude towards everything. So, yeah, it's impressive to see those young guys out there just enjoying golf.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I mean, it's awesome.
I've definitely played with my share of randoms, and not that your wife and your other daughter are random, but you know, you get the guys in your group that are just, like you're saying, distracted all over the place. I'm curious what that did to your game. And you guys did great, but sometimes you get matched up with somebody that's like ultra competitive and it might escalate a little bit, but it sounded like you guys kept it loose and relaxed and took it home.
Yeah. I mean, I think, you know, for 4 hours, they just kind of blocked out tee times at this course just because they knew there was going to be a parent junior thing. And there's all sorts of signage over the course. So everyone that walks the course or tries to get on that day is going to know that you're going to have 6 through 14-year-olds, you know, slowing down the pace of play. I think it probably took us 3 hours to play 9 holes because we were getting backed up with, you know, every hole, even though you're only teeing off from, you know, 160 on par fours, basically. You know, you're just waiting on everyone to kind of scramble around the greens and hit their chips and putts and everything. So it's not a fast round by any means, but I don't think anybody had any expectations that it was going to be a quick round that day. So it kept it kind of light and fun.
Yeah, exactly. I could see definitely a lot of learning for your both of your daughters there. I mean, I never had that chance to play in something like that at that age. I think that's a huge advantage. Huge game changer.
Yeah, I think it was big. You know, we didn't know the results, so we went and grabbed a bite to eat. And then my daughter, she knew we were kind of tied. And there were a few other groups to come in. So she wanted to go back after dinner to go check. And when she did, they let her know and they gave her. She won this like junior like golf bag from Jones Golf, and then a little like placard thing, and then her name goes on our name goes on this little trophy thing for all the different flights. So she was super pumped. She took her little like, you know, crystal trophy thing and put it in her room and kind of slept with it next to her bed all night. So it was pretty fun. She was pretty excited.
It's a good sign, Trevor. She likes to win. She likes trophies.
Oh yeah, yeah. If you throw a trophy out there, I think she's in on it. So that's good.
Hey, okay. So you're on there scoring rules. I mean, you got to hole out every time, right? Everyone, yep. Your daughters included?
Oh, yeah. Yep. Can't. Yep. We had to all the way till the hole. So
I'm guessing you guys kept it pretty legit with the four family members in the group. I mean, you got an honor system there.
Oh, yeah. I was keeping track for all of us. And, you know, they basically asked me if I was comfortable doing, you know, scores for my whole family just to keep it so we're all comfortable. And I think they know me. I play enough rounds out there. I'm not malicious or anything. I'm not trying to sandbag or anything. So definitely kept it legit for sure.
So no gimmies, Trevor. No gimmies.
No gimmies.
No gimmies. You know, I played this weekend. Brian, you said you played this weekend. And when you talk about the gimmies, did you hear a little bit of it's good? Did you hear that?
Yes. I guess you got to read your group, right? You know, what is the intent of the golf round? Is it to score? Is it to post? Or is it just to go drink on a golf course? Right. So, I probably had about three different experiences with that. So, first one was just all about the drinking on the golf course, having a great time, sunny day, doing that kind of stuff. So yeah, there was a lot of that's good. And it might've been about 12 feet out, but hey, you know, it's, you know, that. The intent was not to post your score, right? And then I played a game with some competitive guys that, you know, we were playing a game. We were playing Wolf. And so, you know, it was a lot of prove it type stuff. But if, you know, the point had already been made, you know, or something like that on a hole, then that seemed to increase the that's good or, you know, if the point hadn't been made, it's the reverse, right? Like it's like, whoa, that's a 2 foot putt. Let me see that. Right.
Yeah. So, I mean, how many gimmies are in a round when you're playing with your buddies? What do you think? What do you guys think? How many gimmies are you hearing in just a regular round?
Oh man. That's I would say probably, again, it's like what Brian says, if you're a money game, you know, it's not going to be as free, but I would say probably like greater than 2 foot, like gimmies, probably say 5 to 6 around. I don't know. Brian, what do you think?
That's right in there. Like maybe more. It just depends on, I guess how far out. Yeah. I mean, like, you know, the general rule of thumb for gimmies that I've played with, you know, this whole time has been within the putter. Right. So those are for sure. And then if people get a little tipsy, it might get a little more generous.
Within the putter or within the, I always played like inside.
Within the leather. Inside the leather, right?
Yeah. Sure. Sorry. Leather. Yeah. I guess that's okay. What I meant. Yeah. I mean, like the metal of the putter. But I mean, you can just get a longer putter, I guess. Right.
Well, we all play with those guys that it's within the putter or maybe even a few inches out. You know, yeah. Even like, oh, they just kind of eyeball it and they look at you and, hey, it's good.
And yeah.
Good. Get that one a lot.
Good. Yeah. Good.
That's the reliever. That's the one where it's like, ah, yeah, if you give me, I'll give you, you know, and then we don't have to have this agony of missing the putt. The other one that's kind of common with my group of friends has always been, you know, it's not necessarily a gimme, but you're kind of taking it yourself. So you just kind of do the half-ass one arm, you know, 1 foot type putt. And it's like, oh yeah, that would have been good.
That would have been good.
If I would have just lined it up, right?
That would have been good. Or how about like just the straight pickup? Like it's not even like nobody gave it to you. I've seen no share of those. It's just like, just give me, grab this.
You mean like within like triple bogey? Like you're saying grab it, like it's a five, you're going to take it anyways. You just grab it. Is that what you're saying?
Maybe not a five. It's got to be pretty high up the scorecard to take those, right? I mean,
yeah.
You got to be triple bogey or higher, I think.
You're giving up on the hole. Yeah, you got to be a triple and grabbing that thing. If you're grabbing it on a double bogey, I need you to putt that. Like I need you to get the full triple. I mean, I don't play a lot of cash games either, but I kind of want you to put that in, you know, or at least make it a bet.
So Jared, you're kind of like your wife. You want your opponents to suffer, basically.
I do. I do. That's right. I do want them to suffer a little bit. What about the one where like, oh, that would have been good? Because I've seen a lot of guys pick those up and it's only like a double or, you know, you might see a guy miss a par putt and he's so frustrated. He picks it up. Like, hey, wait, whoa.
Yeah. Yeah. Or there's the pity. That's good. Right. There's the, all right. You're like, you missed a short 3 footer. That one counted. That's fine.
Oh, especially when it rolls, like when you're putting downhill and the guy sails it 6 feet past.
Yeah, you're like, that's good. Get in the cart.
I think that's part of it, right? Like part of it's pace of play. Like if you're doing good, right, then you can take the time to line up your putt and get it done, right? But if you're falling behind, you're playing with someone that's not good and just has been losing balls all day and. You know, you're at a club where they expect you to play in 3.5 hours. It's like, yeah, there's a lot more. That's good, I think, coming from my mouth at that point. So you're like, let's just go. Right? We gotta pick up the pace. So I think there's a couple different factors, but yeah, I mean, it's an interesting, you know, casual versus tournament play, right? Like, is it gonna really impact your game that much, right?
Well, I mean, but if we were playing basketball. And I get a fast break on you guys, and I miss my layup. I don't get to say like, "Oh, that would have went in." You know, I mean, yes. Got to go in. I got to get it in. It doesn't count because you're programming. You might be chasing down and knock it out of the hands, whatever. I mean, you're not giving me a free layup. I don't just like pick up the ball at half court and be like, "Ah, I had a layup."
But then on that same analogy, Jared, you've got teammates that are there to rebound the ball if you miss, right? Like it's you still have potential for points.
Yeah, okay, I'm with you, Jared. I think it's got to be into the hole, right? You know,
yeah.
Because if you're truly trying to post a score, you know, you got to know your true score. It can go the other way too. You know, if you're like, you know, your partner's up winning, you know, they got a par or something, and you need to hit this, you know, for a score, then you're 4 feet out and you just kind of whiff it, you know, and then you're like, oh, I got a five, you know, whatever.
You well, know, how many times?
The other way too.
Yeah, at the end of a round, how many times you might, I mean, this happens to me a lot. I'll lose to one of the partners by like one or two. And I got to think back to like hole 6 or 7 when he picked up. And I'm like, wait a minute. That was like a 3 foot gimme right there. you know, and it could come back around later. I never know. So,
you're the cheap dad too. You don't want to buy that beer if you're thinking about that gimme, that 3 foot gimme.
No, I don't care if it's not a quarter hole. I don't want to give that quarter up. That's a free quarter right there. So when we're talking about it and these gimmies, I mean, you've seen gimmies 3-4 feet, like we said, and sometimes, I mean, I never give a gimme on a birdie or par, right? We're never given.
Oh, never. I mean, yeah.
Only if it was like maybe 2 inches away. And like you said, pace of play, guy chips up and it's 2 inches away and it's a par. You might knock it away. All right. I'll knock that back to you. But mm-hmm. I mean, I've seen some pretty generous gimmies in my time. And if you're saying I'm a shoot of 85, but I'm taking 5 gimmies in a round, I don't know.
No. I agree with that. I think on the posting side, you know, it's, you don't want to be as like a gimme though. Like let's say you shoot an 85, right? And you had 5 gimmies. Let's say you would have missed 50% of that. So that's another 2 strokes to your score that you would have added on. That means your handicap would have gone up, right? Any kind of tournament play, that actually might benefit you, right? Because you enter with a higher handicap than if you take the gimmies. So, I don't know.
You're saying to be a better tournament player, don't take the gimme. Take the
putt. Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Just post your score. Cause I think a lot of, you know, the scores that we see out there where guys are like, oh yeah, I shot a 79, but you're right. He had probably like 6 gimmies.
4 or 5 gimmies.
Right?
Yeah.
Yeah. And so it's like, if you're going to be true to your game or you're not going to be true to the game, I think it's just all about your own, you know, it's what golf's all about. It's the ethics, right? It's a gentleman's game.
Yeah. Love and hate that game. So we got a challenge. Let's lay out the challenge then. Okay. Your next round before one of our next episodes, no gimmies. Call it out. No gimmies.
For the group, right?
For the group. Yeah, don't let it go. No, you gotta put that.
Number one tee box, just say, hey guys, hate to be an asshole, but we're not doing any gimmies.
We're doing no gimmies today.
Okay.
Right. And I then like it. Write it down. You gotta make a mental note. I'm gonna make a mental note of how many missed. I'm gonna call them out. No. You gotta hold that out. Let's go.
Okay.
I hope you're playing with good guys. Maybe I mean, call it out. Say it right off the first
thing. Well. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, well, we'll see, man. You know, it's gonna start off as kind of like, okay, we got you, and then by the end, it's see if it lasts.
Well, get a. I want you guys make sure. I mean, you guys play. You're both members at your club, so you're playing there pretty consistent. I kind of play all over, but I'm gonna play the same course again. I played this course time and time again, so we'll compare scores. We'll see what happens. Really, I'm looking for. We want to see how many putts, either yourself or the guys you're playing with. You call it out, no gimmies, and how many get missed. And then, you know, it's a mental game. So a guy misses it and he's 2 foot past. Hey, get back up there, cowboy. Let's go.
Yep.
Drop that spot.
Are we going to count how many specifically are within the leather that somebody missed? Is that how we're going to, like, track this?
Yeah, so what, like 2 to 3 feet, right?
That,
like,
we'd normally give as a gimme?
Let's say 2 feet. If someone misses something within 2 feet, we're tracking it. Is that what we were saying?
Yeah, okay. 2 feet. And if you should not be given a gimme outside of 2 feet. I mean, you're having it. I mean, that's pretty generous. Let's like, that's rule number one. No gimmies outside of 2 feet.
Yeah. It's funny. We talk about these feet and everything like that, right? And you watch a pro tournament and these guys are, you know, draining 10-foot putts like it's nothing, right? Like, oh yeah, I got that. You get to a 3 foot putt on an actual course and you're like, yeah, that's kind of far away. it's got some break to it. Like, yeah, that's not a gimme. So yeah, you're right. All right. Nothing over 2 feet would be,
you know what? And I'm going to tell you in my group, I'm going to announce it on the first box. And when we turn 18, if anybody broke the rule, I'm going to tell them I'm not signing your card. You know, I mean, we're not a tournament play, but I'm just going to tell them that. Hey, I wouldn't sign that card. That's an illegitimate card right there.
I want you to suffer.
I want you to suffer. You didn't shoot an 85, buddy. I'm going to tell them that.
Or post them with the extra amount of strokes they took as gimmies. Actually post their own scores for them. That'd be good.
Oh, that's even better, Trev. I like that. At the end, you can call that out and tell them now you're going to post an 89. All right, this is the Golfers and Dads segment where we give you tips for being a better golfer and being a better dad. So for this week's golf tip, Brian, why don't you fill us in on that drill you have?
Yeah, so it's called The A-Swing. It's David Ledbetter. He has a book out there. You can get it on Amazon. It's called The A-Swing, The Alternative Approach to Great Golf. I read it, and it really made a lot of sense to me. It's just about, getting your swing a little bit more efficient, keeping everything compact so you're not flailing your arms all over the place. So basically, the basic idea, put two towels in between your armpits and just execute the swing. That's the basic idea. There's some more that the book goes into just about, loading your back foot and then transferring that weight over to your front foot, kind of like coiling it up like a spring and then releasing that spring. But the main idea and the main benefit that I got out of it was that simple drill of just keeping two towels in between your armpits, keeping everything compact, not letting it get too far away from you.
All right. Great. And I've seen something similar with the putter where you put the golf ball in against your wrist in the club. It's kind of similar idea that you don't want to drop the golf ball.
I haven't seen that.
Yeah. We'll have to go into that one later. And our parent tip this week is really for those that are parents of teenagers. And it's how do you respond when you're frustrated with your kid? And it's really the key steps when you're working with a teenager, you're going to hit those moments. And so you take that deep breath. The biggest thing is calm your tone. You really want to keep an eye on that because kids are very sensitive to tone. And that actually goes all the way down to a very young age. And remind yourself when you're frustrated, they're probably frustrated too. And so what they need most is the better version of you. So if you need to take some time or walk away, that's what the best thing to do. But when you're dealing with you're frustrated with your teenager or even your younger kid, follow those steps and you'll get better outcomes.
So this might be another episode, but the guys that are playing money games and they get to the point where they're at like a double bogey, like I can only take a 7 because of my handicap.
Oh yeah, we're gonna have to get into that one.
But that's another one.
But it kind of ties into this
whole gimme thing, right? Where it's just like picking up on a hole. When's it okay? What do you score that? All that kind of stuff.
But, yeah, we're going to get into that. Hey, you know what? That's going to be it for this week. Next week, we're going to talk a little bit more about our dad game. We got some skills to share with some people. I think we'll have a good time talking about our kids and staying home during COVID and help some dads and moms out there. You know, when we say golfers, your dad, we got some moms at golf, though, too. We're going to tie into them. So with that, guys, we're going to call it a wrap and sign off and see you next week.